All right, it's a privilege to be in God's house tonight. I thank each one of you for being here. I got a lot of family here, a lot of people from Brooklyn's here. I appreciate each one of you being here. Also, you people of Gateway, I thank you for your prayers. I thank you. I appreciate the testimonies and the people standing up while I go and praising God. It makes it a lot easier to stand up here after somebody praises God like that, in my opinion. Or it's already blessed me and touched me, but I want to preach a message tonight. If you would, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And when you get there, if you would stand, please, and honor the reading of God's word. Amen. All right, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read a few scriptures here and we'll get into the message. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And it goes into the names of the languages due to pronunciations. I'm not going to read each one of them. If you would skip down to verse 11, the latter part of it, it says, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meanest this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house tonight, God. Lord God, I need your hand, God. I need your touch, God. I ask you just to fill me with the Holy Ghost tonight, God. Lord God, just help me to be a mouthpiece for you, God. Lord God, I don't want to say anything more or less than what you'd have me to say tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you'll just help me to preach this with everything I got, God. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts tonight, God. If anybody be here lost and on their way to hell tonight, God, Lord, don't let them walk out of here without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'll just touch each heart, God. Touch the backslidden ones here, God. Just touch the ones, Lord, you know each and every heart, God. Give them what they need tonight, God. Lord, help us, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm nervous, God, I'm scared, but I know, Lord, I've got faith in you, God, and I know you'll help me tonight, God. Lord, just help me, give me liberty to preach, God. Thank you for being here tonight and being in the presence, having your presence here, God. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message tonight on the moving of the Holy Ghost. And we see here in Acts chapter number 2, we see that it was the day of Pentecost was fully come. And we see here that 12 of the disciples, along, and of course in chapter 1 verse 15, it says there were 120 of them gathered together in this place. But they were come here, and the Holy Ghost of God, there was a mighty rushing wind of the Holy Ghost of God moving in upon them. And there were cloven tongues as a fire set in upon each one of them. And we see here that the Holy Ghost of God began to speak to them and began to fill them with the Holy Ghost. And we see that there were devout men, Jews, out of every nation under heaven were here in the Jerusalem area. And now they were noised abroad and the multitude came together. We see this when the moving of God happens in some place, it's going to stir more than just the church. And I believe tonight we got too many people who are caught up And too many churches caught up in the world running the church instead of the church having an impact on the world. We need to realize our church tonight needs to have an impact on the world. And if we get the Holy Ghost of God to move inside of the church like it needs to, and our people get where they need to be with God, I believe it's going to have an impact on the community. And I believe this is what we need to have. Hey, we're worried too much about planning our revival services, planning our times we come to church around too much of football, basketball, baseball, soccer, golf, and things of that nature. Hey, you need to be in God's house when the time comes to pass, and we need to have the Holy Ghost of God moving in His house. And tonight I want to preach a message on the conditions for the Holy Ghost of God to move. And we need these conditions in our house tonight. But let me say this. First of all, I want to say this. Look at verse 17. And it says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Let me just say there, if you look at the word of God and you line things up, we're getting close to the last days. I don't know the day nor the hour. The only person to know that is God on high. But let me say this. We're getting toward the last days. And it says here, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And today, that's what we need. We need God to pull His Spirit out on all flesh tonight. And I believe He wants to. He's wanting to tonight. But I believe we're standing in the way of it sometimes because our hearts aren't exactly where they need to be with God. I want to start out and give you 3 points on my... The conditions of the Holy Ghost of God moving. I believe these 3 conditions could be pointed out in our lives. But I just want to say this. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we see in this picture here, God, if you look down in verse 37 and on to verse 41, we see here Peter begins the sermon of Jesus Christ preaching the gospel, which is what I'm standing here trying to do today. But in verse 41, it said there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hey, He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can do it then. He can do it today. And let me just say, the Holy Ghost of God, that's what we need in our services today. But let me start out by saying this. The first point I want to get at, we're going to have to work on in our church services. And look in verse number 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Let me say today, we all going to have to get in one accord. Gateway Baptist Church here in 2010, you're going to have to get together and work in this thing together. Hey, we're all put here for one purpose, and that's to serve God together to the time He calls us home. And if you're going to try to be in this church and you want to worship God, you're going to have to do it together. Let me say, you can't have malice and strife and anger between you and brethren and sisters and God. You're going to have to not worry about having your little cliques and getting together and, we're going to have to help each other out. We can't have our cliques. We can't be hitting the phones on Monday morning worried about speaking lies and hearsays about everybody in the church. We're going to have to get together and work this thing out together. Let me say, if you want to see true revival come here in November, you want the Holy Ghost of God to move in a mighty way, you're going to have to get together in one accord. You're going to have to work this thing as a church together. And we're all in one body of Christ. If you can't get along here, how are you going to get together in heaven? You're going to have to get together down here. And let me just say, we need to all get in one accord with God and let the Holy Ghost of God meet with us. Second of all, the second point I want to get to is we're going to have to be submissive to God or crucify the flesh. We see here that Peter stands up in verse 14 and he stands up and he starts preaching. But let me say this tonight. It takes a submissiveness. It takes crucifying that flesh to stand up and brag on God. I appreciate the people that stood up tonight and bragged on God just a little bit and gave us a praise. That took some submissiveness. God wanted to use them. God said stand up. But it took them being submissive to God to stand up and say what they needed to say. Hey, if you want the Holy Ghost of God to move, you're going to have to be submissive. When He rings your doorbell, you're going to have to open that door and say, "Lord, use me. Lord, use me in whatever way You want me to use me." We see here in verse 13, the people started saying they were full of new wine. Hey, let me say this. It took some submissiveness for Peter to stand up and preach the gospel in the second chapter. And let me say here, if he wouldn't have stood up and been submissive, these 3,000 souls wouldn't have got saved. And hey, let me tell you now, we need some submissiveness of God's people. We don't need to be worried about coming to church, worried about who's wearing what, who says what our hair looks like, what kind of clothes we're wearing. We need to come to God, be submissive to whatever He says, and let the Holy Ghost of God meet with us. Can I have some of this right here? Just mine. All right. Excuse me. Let me say this tonight. It's going to take some submissiveness. It's going to take us getting in one accord. But the third point I want to look at tonight, and don't misunderstand this point. I'm going to use a side of this, but please don't misunderstand me here. If you look back into chapter 1 with me for just a second, look at verse 13. This is talking about who was present here in chapter 2, who's present here in chapter 1. Verse number 13 of chapter 1, it says, "When they were come in, they went in up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas brother of James. And they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." Let me just say here, there was one disciple missing. We see 11 disciples missing here. There was one disciple missing. That was Judas Iscariot. Let me just stop here and say this right quick. We need to take care of the Judas Iscariots in our congregation. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we need to go out and have them hang. We all know the story of Judas. I'm not trying to say this in a way. Please don't tip me wrong or misunderstand my point. We all know the story of Judas. He had a love for money more than he had a love for God. If you look back in the gospel, we see where during the time that the woman comes with the ointment and tries to pour it on God, and that it says the disciples, but if you read commentaries and stuff, we see that that was most likely Judas who said that this is a waste of money. We could have sold this. And then we see he sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He had a love for money more than he had a love for God. Let me say, we got too many people who's got a love for other desires besides the love for God. We got too many people who's got other desires for cars, SUVs, boats, and things of that nature more than they do a desire to serve God in their life. Hey, if we're going to have the Holy Ghost of God manifest itself in our services today, we're going to have to get our love for God. Also, let me say this. I don't know the statistics at one time. I don't like statistics that much anyway, but at one time they were pretty high, saying the amount of percentage of lost church members sitting on the pew of a Baptist church. But hey, let me tell you, your church membership, how much you attend Sunday school, is not going to get you to heaven today. It's going to take a relationship with Jesus Christ on high that's going to get you to heaven today. And there's too many people, I believe, and I don't consider this the average Baptist church, just because God moves in here a lot, and we don't have a man of God that stands here and preaches health, wealth, and prosperity. We have a man of God that'll stand here and preach the truth. But I believe in the average Baptist churches out here that have this. I believe there are a lot of them in the congregation who are just fit in and look like they're Christians. But hey, look in verse number 17 of chapter number 1. It says, it's talking about Judas here. It says, For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Hey, let me tell you what, God can still use you and you not be one of his. I know Bryn stands and gives her testimony. Bryn was lost. Bryn sung in a Southern Gospel quartet with me and two others. Bryn would stand up and testify. Bryn had shouted. But hey, if you don't have that relationship with the Holy Ghost of God, you'll split hell wide open tonight. And let me tell you, if you don't make it home tonight and you die on your way home, if you're not saved, if you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll split hell's gates wide open. And I don't want to see that happen. Neither does anybody here tonight. But let me say, it's easy to get caught up in this world religious stuff. I don't care what your denomination says. I don't care whatever your religion says. It ain't works that gets you to heaven. It's only by the grace of God on high that he draws you under Holy Ghost conviction and you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior that you're going to go to heaven tonight. And let me say that there's a lot of people who fall into the category of Judas in this picture. He was number with them. He fit in. He was a fake. He could pull off somebody and something that look like a Christian. But let me tell you what, it don't matter what you can pull off down here. It matters what's in your heart tonight. And I want to say, if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, it's a fine time to get in. The water's just right, and it'd be a good time for you to surrender to God calling you and trying to get you out of that pew and getting an old-fashioned altar and get saved. Hey, listen to me. You don't have to be in a service. I thank God he came by my way one day on the side of a road and saved me. He picked me up out of the miry clay and put my feet on a solid rock. He saved me on the side of a road. You know, when God starts dealing with you, you don't have to be in a church service. You can be wherever you want to. God's everywhere, and he'll meet with you. But let me tell you what, tonight's a fine time to get in if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And I just want to say tonight, we need to realize that God
his only begotten son, and God sent Jesus to die on an old rugged cross for your sins and mine, and it's going to take him asking you, you asking him into your heart and soul and repent and believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior before you're going to enter heaven's gates. And I just want to say tonight, we need the Holy Ghost of God on our services. I know in Matthew 18:20 it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst. I understand that. But we need a Holy Ghost of God moving like we see here in Acts chapter number 2. We need to see a Holy Ghost of God moving in a way that will impact our community. But hey, our church is going to have to worry more about their church than the community. They're going to have to get their mind and affections on God. And let me say tonight, we need to get that. We need to get where we need to be with God. We need to see true revival come through in these days. We need to see the Holy Ghost of God move through like we've never seen him before. We have here in verse 17, it does, well, I've read it earlier, but it says, in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I believe this, and I believe we could see this if we would get our hearts where they need to be with God. I say tonight, I want to beg you, Lord, if you don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior, I beg you, Lord, to know it, that you'll come to know him tonight. And I say, if any of these three things, if God's pricking your heart, as he did here in verse 37 for these people, in verse 37 it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. If this is you, I beg you to get in the altar and get the help you need tonight. I don't know what your need, I don't know what your case is, but God gave me this message. I'm trying to be submissive to him tonight, and I beg you to be submissive to whatever call he's asking you to do tonight. And I beg you, Lord, we need to see a true Holy Ghost revival. We need to see a true Holy Ghost meeting of God in this church. And I beg you, if you to get everything lined up in the order you need to have it in tonight. Amen. And I beg you, Lord, and I ask you if you would come. This is all I got tonight. But if you would come, lead this invitation however way you want to.